Okay, here's a warning to purchasers of self-driving cars. They tend to keep going without the self-parking option. Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know? We welcome singer-songwriter Stephen Kellogg to the Terrace stage and play a round of the infamous What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who can spell canadal, it's Michael Feldman.
Canadal. Capital K. Capital N. Capital A. That was the winning word on the spelling bee. Fortunately, it was in New York, so the kid could spell it. In Sheboygan, you'd get that wrong, probably. Well, it's German. It's probably German. They probably could do it then. Sheboygan. But I'm thinking too much, and I'm thinking out loud. I didn't realize this was actually out loud. I was just reacting to canadal, which, is, by the way, is never singular. Because a canadal is basically a matzo ball. I'm sure you knew this. You never see a single matzo ball. They're never alone. They're always in packs. Schools. Okay. Canadalach, then, is actually the plural. It means a bunch of canadals. Or Canadians, you can call them. Same thing. Okay, anyhow, and all the news that isn't, Michelle Bachmann returns to her native soil. Leaving the Tea Party with just the front half of the horse. Please, I have to clear the room. Let's continue. I'll clear my throat. Okay, that's better. 6 billion simoleons laundered through Sims' house party. The Chinese baby, was it suicide? No? Oh, you're groaning, I'm sorry. Walmart, everyday highly toxic waste, but made in the USA. That's the good news, huh? On the rice and pen pal front, a guy in Shreveport with a load of castor beans and his F-150 on the lawn. Shouldn't be too hard to find. Okay. Page 2. Ann Romney says she's very, very partial to Paul Ryan and in every way. The Chinese buy Paula Deen. Obama and Christie in another taffy pull on the Atlantic City boardwalk to cries of, get a room! The main dance instructor gets 10 months for a Zumba Boomba Boomba. Zumba Boomba Boomba, that slays them in Kennebunk. Okay, doesn't matter. John McCain rejected as a Syrian rebel volunteer for medical reasons. With Nike out of the picture, Livestrong to go with ball jar rubbers. A little harder to get on. Travelers to Mars advised to pack 1 million SPF sunblock. And, of course, your Oakleys. You're going to want those. And bring them with you because there's no stores actually yet, so unless you're actually going to stock a store. The 100 millionth iPod sold, which brings the total up to $10 in taxes. Guns labeled environmentally friendly go unsold. Interesting. Or not. Former Senator Bob Dole says he would not hold the current Republican Party's pen. Page 3. We're almost through this. Thank you very much.
That was a good one.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Okay, thank you. It was all for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. They just have to sit through it while I do this for you. $600 for a Stones ticket, you know, with the oxygen tank rental, comes to quite a pretty penny for an evening. For the more sophisticated taste, Google Underglass. Google Underglass. Okay, no? All right. I'll take it out. Not too late. I can take that out. The lunar industry steps up efforts to catch up with the solar industry. They're staying up nights, but they'll do it. Asteroid misses Earth by so much it's laughable. The rise in consumer confidence is personal, not related to the economy. It was just a nice day and the kids weren't yelling. UPS to go with big brown drones. The cruise passenger bill of rights, you can jump, eat the buffet before it spoils, or take your chances on a dinghy. And finally, it is now possible for gay young men to be openly Boy Scout. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much, and good night. Have you all a chance to see you. Okay. Where is Stephen Kellogg? I know he was here because I saw him in the break room and he was having some donuts. There he is. Stephen Kellogg, ladies and gentlemen. He's here. He's real. He's on our stage. He's got a new one out. The Blunderbuss Rookery. Blunderstone. What is the name of that?
Blunderstone Rookery is the boyhood home of David Copperfield.
I knew that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Was that on the quiz?
It should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are the Sixers, man?
They're on hiatus.
What is hiatus?
Well, I don't. I'm not into these reunion things. So I'm not into breaking things up if you're really not sure, and then having reunions. So after 10 years of touring together, some of the guys needed a moment to do something else.
They needed a moment.
Rather than break it up and get back together a million times, we just said hiatus.
That's called a hyenas.
Come on.
Is it a hyenas port like in Massachusetts?
Actually, we're on the western side of the state there, but yeah. I appreciate your word.
Northampton?
Northampton, yeah.
The Northampton sound. Is there a peculiar Northampton sound of musicianship, would you say?
There's a whole bunch of great musicians in
Seems
town.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
And historically as well.
Yeah, like that whole 90s. I think Thurston
guys.
Moore lived on my street.
Who did?
Thurston Moore. Am I getting it right? Oh, from Sonic Youth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool.
I panicked and started thinking Thurston Moore was an author. And I'm like, what am I saying? No, I got you.
No, that's someone else. That's Gwendolyn Brooks.
What?
Oh, never mind. I don't know. We're having such a good conversation until that came up, and I don't know. This album, then, is a chance for you to do your own stuff without worrying what the band wants to do, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Because we functioned as a democracy of sorts, and
you
when you make a solo record, you can kind of go with it's a one man decision making machine.
Yeah, and then you tend to get more personal. Is it more?
You know, my music's always been pretty personal.
You are pretty personal,
probably,
aren't you?
Maybe to a fault. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a.
You feel like you want to go into impersonal.
I'm trying to be more impersonal.
A little more insincere.
Yeah. You know, I feel much too authentic in my day-to-day life. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been accused of that myself, but I say you might be occasionally.
Yeah.
Being too authentic and that sort of thing. Yeah. And you wrote your own bio and everything for the...
I did write my own bio.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
My name is Stephen Kellogg. I'm 36 years old. I say that I'm from Northampton, Massachusetts, because that's where I got my start, though now I live in Southern Connecticut. So,
yeah.
There you
so
go.
So now I feel like a liar. As I just said, I was from Northampton on air.
Studio music, Americana. Okay, the other thing, Americana. What is it? It sounds like when you call room service and say, I'll have the Americana. That's two eggs over easy.
Well, no, I mean, I think
what
Americana.
Is America?
I feel like, you know, I feel
I'm
like American music has a, there's a distinctive quality to it. You know, I feel like that country rock sound that, you know, was so prevalent in the 70s songwriter stuff and is going on now. I feel like that's pretty distinctly American. I haven't heard that much out in other places. So,
yeah, but why Americana?
Well, because if someone said, "What kind of music do you play?" and you said American music, that feels
American,
like Denny's
Americana,
or something. I don't
you
know.
Say Americana, American kinda.
Americana? That American, sounds Spanish to
Americana.
Me.
Kinda American, kinda.
Yeah. But so I like Americana. That one works for me. But
yeah.
You know, each his own.
When did that start? Because I am so pre-Americana. It's sort of like folk music, but not. Right. It doesn't come from folk.
Well, it's a broad, you know. I mean, you can't always get it done in one word. But it could be. I think it's got folk and rock and, you know, those are the elements. Yeah.
Let's go. Are you going to play that guitar or are you just going to stand there?
No, I mean, you know, I was waiting for my invite. I'm ready.
What do you got for us?
Here's some Americana music.
Okay, cool. Stephen Kellogg.
The song's called Men and Women.
Well, all you masters of the universe, the gladiators of society, you probably talk when you should listen. If you're anything like yours truly, now me, I never had a son, but I suppose that if I did, I'd teach him how to throw a punch. Or at least a decent pitch. But before I let him out that door, I'll make him pay his due respect. Learn some compassion and cooperation from the fair sex. It takes a little better woman in the heart of every man. Nothing wrong with competition when you got to make a stand. You need a little better woman in the heart of a man. Now when it comes to daughters, well, I know a thing or two. I teach him that they're gone, I have to be brave and look out for all of you. And may they never feel inferior, and may they make a decent mark. And if some boy becomes their fire, may they realize they're the spark. It takes a little better man heart of every woman. Nothing wrong with intuition when you don't know what you're doing. You need a little bit of man in the heart of a woman. If all the boys went missing, there'd be a lot less war. But who would do the fishing? Who'd drive those muscle cars? And a man is not an island. I'll tell you, I for one can't imagine that a world without girls would be all that much fun. It takes a little better woman in the heart of every man. Nothing wrong with competition when you got to make a stand. You need a little bit of woman in the heart of a little bit of man. In the heart of a little bit of woman in the heart of a man.
Thanks.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because you have four daughters.
I do, yeah.
I have two. And that part about teaching them something, I mean, come on.
Hey.
Do they listen when you teach them something?
Not at all.
No, of course not. Number one rule, get out of their way. That's in raising daughters, seems to me, you know.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to get out of their way.
Yeah. It's tough too, but it's necessary.
As my grandfather used to say, you can't win and you may lose.
The wisdom of the ages.
They're 8, 5, 2, and 8 months.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Wow. Keeping them young.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
So they still have to listen to you no matter what you say at this point.
I don't know.
Mine are now like 22 and 19.
Do you have any tips? What do you got for me?
No, just stay out of their way. Get out of their way. You got to keep them alive. And stay out of their way. Those are the two rules of fatherhood, I think. Yeah, it's in general.
Stressful.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah, that's a very nice song. Very nice song. That's a new one, too?
Thank you. Yeah, that's on the new record.
Is that on Blunderbuss Rookery?
Blunderstone Rookery.
Yeah. There it is, yeah. I got it right here.
It's coming out June 18th. Not out yet, but that one's called Men and Women.
So. Yeah. You recorded some songs at Sun, didn't you, too?
I did. I cut a B-side for this album at Sun Studios down in Memphis, which was a treat.
Yeah. I took a tour there, and those things still work, those old mixers and boards? And
kind of, but not totally. I mean, like, sometimes things go out, and the engineers there are like, it's not working tonight. We'll have to use a different mic or whatever, and it's very charming.
They got the original ones they use in all the, you know, Jerry Lee and all those guys.
Well, you know, we did the session there, and I was recording pretty late, and they have a spot where they say, Elvis stood here, and I'm like, totally blown away. I'm like, wow, Elvis stood here, and they looked at me, they're like, well, you know, like, basically, like, maybe he stood there. He stood somewhere, and we're just kind of painting the picture for people.
He's not
you know?
Standing there now, hopefully. You
yeah,
know,
they were kind of like, how gullible can you be, Kellogg? Yeah.
Well, they had the $1 million combo down there, you know, with Elvis and the other three, Jerry Lee and
Carl Perkins.
Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
That's quite an expensive band.
I'll say. Yeah,
imagine. That was cool.
Band,
what was that? It must have felt really cool.
It was amazing. Yeah, you feel the history. You do. I mean, and they do tours all day, so you have to do your session at night. You can't start till 9, which I know you think, well, rock and roll, 9, that's no problem. But four daughters, you think, well, you're in bed then.
All these considerations. Yeah. Now, I noticed you strapped on what appears to be a harmonica.
I did.
Brace there. You just got there. It looks all shiny.
You know, but the bummer is all my gear got stolen last week in Seattle, so I did just get it. But thanks for bringing it up, Michael.
Oh, man, I hate that when it happens.
Yeah, that was it.
God, well, let's buy it back on eBay for you, okay?
I would. We're good. We got our
That's
eyes
That's such a drag, isn't it?
I
have other friends who are musicians, and they're always getting their gear stolen and stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's you're kind of like, it's disappointing. It's not a tragedy, though, and you know you try.
I know,
to be a
but
big
stealing from
it.
A musician. I mean, how low can you go?
I could not agree more.
Yeah.
As I'm sitting here with my shiny new gear.
I mean, they
here.
Paid for that. Oh, they're almost sweating tears.
Yeah.
So, what you got for us now?
I'm gonna do a song, aptly fitting for this great show. This one's called "The Brain Is a Beautiful Thing."
I still believe in the USA. I pay my taxes and I don't complain. The lightning rod we call the president. You think that you could do the job, my friend? How come the donkeys and the elephants are sinking ships instead of building things? It's alright, it's my brain. Last time I checked, it's just an opinion. It's alright, it's my brain. It's a beautiful thing. I still believe in the working class. No matter what you do, you're gonna have to bust your. Just cause somebody wears a suit and tie, well, that don't mean he's not like other guys. Sometimes you're looking for a sheep in snow, but out of the is where the flowers grow. It's alright, it's my brain. If you don't use it, you might lose it, man. It's alright, it's my brain. Guess what's a beautiful thing? I still believe in things we're free to choose, like who we love and who we're praying to. I'm not gonna tell a girl she can't decide. I wish that I could choose the day I die. I'm shaking hands with soldiers overseas. Peace comes when you can scare your enemies. It's alright, it's my brain. You may not like it, but I'm free to say it's alright, it's my brain. It's a beautiful thing. Alright. Yeah, I'd like to to drop a house on my TV and all the shows they call reality. Some two-faced loser in his mom's garage will make you think you need an entourage. The things we'll do to try to be a star. I got a drink for your face, and you know who you are. It's alright, it's my brain. Last time I checked, it's just an opinion. You got yours, I got mine. As to who's right, maybe we'll know in time. It's alright, it's the brain. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you so much, folks.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI Public Radio International. Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay, well, I don't have time to... All right, okay.
This totally unfiltered results here.
Unfiltered.
Thank you. Unfiltered.
Yeah.
Unfiltered. I didn't say filtered,
no,
did I?
No.
I said unfiltered.
Right.
Unfiltered. Okay. How's everybody? Okay. Nice music there, wasn't it, Steve? Yeah. Very nice. I didn't have a chance to look through these to separate the wheat from the chaff. So it could be all wheat, could be chaff. Probably still wheat and chaff, but just, you know. Let's see what we got. Ann Kaiser from Eau Claire. Oh, you're waiting back there. Okay, well, I just got to go back there. Excuse me a second. I'm gonna ignore you, but Ann Kaiser decided to sit way in back and be the first card on the stack. It's ironic, I guess. But that's just Ann. That's just Ann. Hi. Want to get you to stand up? Just say Ann Kaiser, everybody. Sitting in back here. From Eau Claire.
Yes, from Eau Claire. Yeah. Technically Altoona, but that's a...
That's the big technicality, Altoona. Altoona is growing, though, isn't it?
It is, very much.
By leaps and bounds.
Yes, very
Did
much.
Did you know that you'd be living in such a growth-prone area?
Absolutely. We knew. We saw it long ago.
We did. Where do you hail from originally, then?
Glenwood City.
Where is that?
Between Eau Claire and then the Twin Cities.
Oh!
Population of 888.
Oh, but by now, I bet they're up to 900.
In 12. 912.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay. What is this here now? It's your birthday?
It is my birthday. It's my 50th birthday today.
Okay.
It's a big deal.
That's a piece of cake.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's no big. I can't remember it. Was it a big deal? 50? I can't recall. Anyone have one of those recently? It wasn't momentous, not like turning 12. Or 13 was a big one.
I was hoping this was going to be a big deal today.
No, it's nothing really.
Okay.
I don't think.
Well, good.
What,
okay.
Did you want something for you? Yeah, it says, what can I get for free?
Yeah. I figure I'm in Madison. There must be free things on your birthday.
Okay. Well, I don't know. People asking for it, I don't usually give it.
Oh.
Sarah.
Oh, I'm feeling generous.
Yeah?
How about that? Yeah.
Okay. Sarah feels pretty good about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe you should go for a picnic, and you can take with you Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumée. They are great wines from Wollersheim Winery. How's that?
There you go. Okay. Sit in the park.
Thank you.
Sit in the park.
Thank you very much.
Sit in the Capitol Square. Sit right in front of the governor's office and open those bottles. And see how long you last. You know what I mean? No, that should be fun. Good place. Nice trees there and everything. How long does it take for a windmill to pay for itself? What? John Barker. You have a windmill, John?
No.
Oh, you're thinking of getting one? All right, wait, now John is way down in front. Can you people sit in the same place if you're going to... Do you expect me to respond to you? Well, because, you know, like, where are you, John? Okay, John's over here. If I go down... All right, I got to... All right, I should have gone the other way, but I was over on this side, and then how are you? Pretty good?
Yep, doing well.
I'm doing well, thank you.
What are you doing this summer?
This summer, I'm just working here in Madison. It's my grandma's birthday yesterday.
Oh! Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
You didn't ask for anything, did you?
Oh, I know.
Sweet.
Oh, thank you.
Well, let's give her some because she didn't ask for anything.
Wine?
Huh?
Wine?
You want wine?
Well, sure. I love wine.
She loves wine.
There you go. It's the same.
What? Well, you got to say it,
oh,
don't
oh.
you?
Yeah. You can.
Otherwise, it doesn't exist if you don't say it.
Well, you can add to your birthday party if you're still celebrating with Wollersheim Wines. Their dry Riesling was named the Wine of the Year at the 2013 San Diego International Wine Competition.
But you're not getting that one. That's too expensive.
That's fine.
The one in the bag. They have their wine in the bag is great from them. Too. What's your name so we get that?
Janet Ryan.
Put that on the coupon.
Thank you.
All right. Well, happy birthday. All right, let's see now. Our windmill, and how are you doing?
All right.
You the guy with the windmill?
No, sir.
Did you ever think about a windmill?
I do.
You ever tilt at a windmill or anything like that?
No, I haven't.
Is it called quixotic?
I don't know.
Not to your face?
Pardon me?
Well, what do you do anyhow?
I'm a winemaker.
Winemaker! Holy cow! What do we have for him? What do we...
Came from there, visited the winemaker yesterday. Yeah.
Where do you make yours?
In Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. What kind of grapes grow in Oklahoma?
Well, we have the Venus vinifera and also the hybrids that you grow here, too.
Same ones?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you more of a white wine or a red wine?
About half and half. We
make that. Oh, that's a cop-out. What, are you a rosé guy? Or?
No, sir. We have some great reds, but you're growing some varieties here. We come up to investigate the varieties you're growing here to see if they'll grow in Oklahoma for us, too.
Yeah. Are you going to take some of our varieties back with you?
No. Just took some of your wine back with us.
That'd be illegal, wouldn't it, to ride across state lines?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Is it?
It is illegal.
Oh, I didn't know I was right about something. I'm so pleased with myself for being accidentally right about something. And this year, was this a good year for wine down there in Oklahoma?
No, it's not. We had late freezes. We had freeze damage. And so that's why we're doing some investigation to find the varieties that will grow better for us down there.
Yeah. Well, they can survive Wisconsin. They should be fine. We have something for you, actually. What do you think?
Wine?
Hurry up, because the windmill guy wants
it. Okay. Well, how about a bottle of Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumé from where you were yesterday, Wollersheim Winery?
Yeah. You probably bought some, but here's some more for you. Okay. As a winemaker, he deserves that much. All right, go through here. Windmill? Windmill?
No.
Windmill?
One more.
Oh, him. One more. Resigned to this whole discussion. Does he want a windmill?
He does.
And what do you think about that?
I think it's cool.
You do? What you married the right person. You're to stand up unless you're really tall. Yeah, sit down. Otherwise, I'm talking to your pocket protector here. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Yes. John
Barker.
John Barker.
I'm from Florida.
Do you live in Florida?
Yes.
And where is that? The villages. What is that?
The village is a retirement village just a little below Ocala, northwest of Orlando.
Yeah. You have to get how do you get out of that village? They let you out?
They let you out. It's cool because they have it's completely golf cart accessible. You drive a golf cart everywhere.
Is that how you got here, by golf cart?
Yes. Yes.
On golf cart.
They wouldn't really let me drive it to here because of state laws, but all around there you can. So
are
really
you from? Are you from down there originally? Or?
No, I'm originally from New Jersey, but I was in Florida since '58.
Because you started developing an accent there. It's not a Jersey accent anymore.
No.
Did you have to work hard to lose that?
Not really. No, I'd like to pick up accents wherever I go.
And the windmill thing. What is it? You're tilting at this windmill. What is? Is it a dream you've always had?
No, you look at it and the way they're conserving from putting. Carbon monoxide and everything else into the air for making electricity. It's just so nice seeing the windmills up there producing electricity and not destroying the environment.
But do they allow them in the villages there?
We don't get enough wind down there, except in hurricanes, and that wouldn't, work that time.
All at once. It's not. If you could store it, it would be cool.
That would be. But seeing it up here is just great.
How about some wine? Go out and stare at a windmill with a good bottle of what?
Domaine de Sac. Yeah. How about that? From Wollersheim Wine.
Is that all right?
Well, thank you.
Everyone
else
is good.
There you go. Thank you very much. Yeah,
thanks for coming up here and seeing us. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz. Pardon me, how you guys doing? Good. Elvis Presley, Graceland. You've been to Memphis, too? Oh, yeah? Did you see Sun Studios? Isn't it cool? Cool tour. And how are you? Good? Good. Good. See you. We have to play, we don't have to play, we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz before, but we have to do is read the four disclaimers before we can play the quiz. By law, we're regulated on this. Quiz law goes way back. That's before Taft-Hartley, there was quiz law. And reading them today, we have...
Mary Crave.
Mary, I'll hand this to you, and I'll get out of your way.
Thank you. The four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, cockroaches learn not to trust vacancy signs on roach motels. Three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Thank you very much. Well done. Great job. Well done. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. All those years of schooling, and what do you get for it? A pat on the back and a certificate. Here's a chance to capitalize on that by playing. That's right. I'll say once again, the What Do You Know quiz. I don't see any volunteers, right? Oh, okay. Our friend here from, where are you from? I don't believe it. You don't have the accent. Come on, Switzerland. Come on down here. Let's find out. Anything for international misunderstanding, I say. He's not really from Switzerland. He's putting it on. I know he's not really. That's just from Little Switzerland, right?
Little Switzerland, yeah. Okay.
How are you? Just down the road there.
Fine.
How was the skiing this winter? Is it good?
Was okay, yeah. Yeah, it was lots of snow. Lots of snow.
And now at East Troy, they had a lot of snow?
Yeah, no. No, in Switzerland.
Oh,
you know?
In Switzerland, okay. Yeah, yeah. Then you really are from there.
Yeah, yeah.
And your name is?
Heider.
Heidler or?
Heider. H-E-I-D-E-R.
Heidler?
Heider.
Heider.
Yeah.
Heider.
But call me George. That's my second name. It's much
easier. All right, George, I can do that.
Yeah, that's much better.
You have to give me one good reason why you should play this quiz, and then you qualify.
Oh, I love to have something new.
Okay, that's not a good reason, but it's not my problem. Anyway, come on down, George. Come on down.
I don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is. It's the best feeling, isn't it? When you don't know what it is, but it's new. That's, I can understand. Have a seat there, if you would, on that Naga hide.
Oops. Oops.
George, you know, you took out our set.
It's a little bit tired.
They don't have Naga hide benches in
No, that's a little bit...
You don't have Howard Johnson's in Switzerland?
No, not too many, no.
No? One,
no.
Maybe?
McDonald's.
Oh, you have that, okay. Yeah, I'm going to call you George, okay.
That's okay.
Because I can't say it without thinking Hitler.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a good one.
No, not to associate with it, but you know, it's just similar in sounding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's George.
George, yeah, okay.
So what do you do over there, and what are you doing here?
Retired. I'm retired.
Retired there and here?
No, I come over here to visit friends.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What field are you trained in, or were you in?
Engineering.
Engineering?
Yeah.
Like?
Mechanical engineering.
Mechanical engineering?
Mechanical engineering.
Things that are mechanical, like bridges and...
Yeah, no, material science.
Material science.
So materials.
I hear these terms. I don't know. You know, engineers.
Oh, but they are good, you know.
They don't want to talk about what they do, so they give you all these material science. What does that mean? Material science.
Learn everything about how to build bridges with what materials.
Well, shouldn't you know that by now? I mean, how many different materials can you put in a bridge? Is concrete, iron, or
put
steel?
Some nano on top of that, you know.
Nano?
Yeah.
Like little tiny
bridges? Little tiny things.
You're building little tiny
nano bridges?
Bridges
are big, you know. Bridges are big.
So there's nanotechnology now in bridges?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How could you get out of it at a time
painting,
like this?
Paintings and so on, you know. Paint on top of it and so on. In the paint. Surprises you?
I'm trying to understand what this all means. There's nanotechnology in the paint on bridges.
Yes, yes.
There's not.
There is.
You could tell me anything and I'd agree with it because you have a very dignified accent. Okay. And you sound, and you're an engineer and it sounds like you know what you're talking about, but you're lying to my face. Why would you do that?
I would never do that. I would never lie to you, you know.
No. Why would you use a nano In the paint. Why would you put nanos in your paint?
Gives better properties against weathering and so on.
Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. So how do you, isn't that kind of expensive to make paint out of little nanoparticles?
It was, but it's getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know, prices are coming down.
But you don't care because
like
you got out of that whole business anyway.
Yeah. It's a long time ago.
Yeah. Is there a bridge that bears your name or that you
No, not really.
Because you put the most work
in it? I'm not that famous.
No, but I mean, is there a bridge that you worked on that should have your name?
No.
Tunnel?
No.
Bus stop?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing of that kind, no.
Overpass?
No.
Did you ever adopt a highway in Switzerland? Because it's the engineers.
They don't have that system in Switzerland.
Yeah, but they should get the credit.
Yeah,
the
you're right, you know, one should. You know?
Name it after some banker or something like that?
I have to go back and tell him, you know, that you told me.
Yes, tell him. Okay, well, it's very nice to have you here. And who are we visiting in Madison?
Oh, over here? There,
yeah.
Barbara Erdman? Yeah.
Oh.
Over there.
Yeah, all of them?
Yeah. And my wife sitting over there?
You're visiting your wife? You left your wife here and you go back? And that's what a great
Not
idea.
Bad, right? Yeah.
Oh, boy. You Swiss have got it made.
You know, we met 40 years ago over here when we were students in Cornell.
Oh, is that right?
Cornell University, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that something?
And we met, and now we visit again and see each other. And, good.
That's good. Every 40 years is about the right rating, I would think.
Can't do it too often, you know.
Because the thrill would be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. This way that keeps it going. So this is a general knowledge quiz, George.
Yeah.
That's your second name, right?
Yes.
That feels kind of stupid.
It is. No, that's okay.
Okay. I'm going to say it anyway. George, because the general knowledge quiz, someone out there will play along with you in the quiz, and you get three right, basically. It's really easy. Piece of cake.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay? Yes?
Let's try it.
But how do we do that, though, Sarah Nix?
Well, you're going to have a partner.
What's the procedure?
Call on the phone.
No kidding.
Why are you condescending to me?
And the number to dial is 1-800-942-5669. Oh. And you ask them this qualifying question.
How are they going to remember that number?
Well, they could remember it as 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Quack.
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 Quack without a C.
I don't know
or
1-800-942-5669. Okay. What? Okay. Here's the question then. If you get this, you can qualify here to play with George. What will a hamburger made from artificial meat run you these days? This is the Netherlands. They made a hamburger entirely in the laboratory.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, huh? You should have gone into this.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah. Meat. Science.
Big future. Yeah.
Meat science. Yeah. And there's apparently they're making several of them. They're having a dinner party or something just from some donor or something. But it's rather pricey. And with how many thousands of dollars must they get within this to get the hamburger when it...
Five?
To qualify, therefore. Within what? $5,000?
Yeah.
Okay. What will a hamburger made from artificial meat in the laboratory run you? So here's the question, and here's the answer. Mike is in Radford, Virginia. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
Doing great.
Is this early for you or late?
No, this is about the right time. I mow my grass every Saturday with you keeping me company.
You're on grass? Did you say you're high on grass, Mike? Because I don't know if we can do...
No, not... No, just in the yard and high on yard work.
Okay. All right, that's the way to do it. Mike, hamburgers can be made now in the laboratory, but they're kind of pricey. A hamburger from artificial meat in the laboratory will run you how much in thousands of dollars?
Let's try 5,000.
Oh, no, you can't get them for that. Not even a slider for 5,000.
Not even the bun and the condiments. Okay.
No. Oh, sorry, Mike.
Well, I could revise that for you.
Well, yeah, I know, but you know, in fairness.
I do spend every Saturday with you, Michael.
I know. I appreciate that. That's worth another $5,000, and still won't get you there.
Okay.
Okay. Try us again, though. Okay.
Bye. Hey, I will. I promise.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you. Norman's in Cleveland Heights.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, Norman. How are you?
I'm awake now.
Yeah, we have someone here from Cleveland. Are you from the Heights, too, ma'am? close by the Heights. She's
where?
She's in the depths, the Cleveland depths. Nearby, it's right next to the Heights, actually. So, Norman, artificial hamburger made in the laboratory. It's a laborious process, painstaking work. I'll tell you, it costs thousands and thousands of dollars. What's your best guess on that?
Well, I don't know how much it would cost, but you're asking how much it would run. I would imagine that it would run me to the bathroom real quick.
You'd run to the artificial bathroom really quick, you think? Yes.
Okay, $3,000.
Oh, come on. Norman! No,
my
sorry.
Girl.
Going the wrong direction.
Bye.
Bye. While you're running, you're going the wrong direction. Nick's in La Crosse. Nick, you got this, don't you?
Oh, I have no idea. I'll guess $25,000.
Nick, I like you, Nick. Because you're from La Crosse, and we're going to be there next week, by the way.
At the Turbo, yes.
At the Turbo. Thought I should mention that a few more times. Next week. Tickets still available. Nick, but I'll give you a hint. It's actually in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, okay. Well, let's try...
Pretty good hint there, huh?
$100,000.
Oh, Nick. Well, see you next week in La Crosse at the Turbo, though.
Okay.
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 Bye now. Okay.
Bye.
Rod. Hey, Rod.
Yeah.
In Norman.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Morning, Alec.
Yeah, you had some weather there, huh?
Oh, dodging tree limbs right now.
Oh, my God. You know, I was in there. We were in Norman one time when this strange front moved. I mean, it really is strange weather over Norman for some reason. And a circular front moved in, but it was like a disc, like a flying saucer. Did you ever see one of those?
The tornado that came through Oklahoma City last night was like a small hurricane.
Yeah, oh, wow, unbelievable. You're okay in your area there, Norman, okay?
Yeah, it started heading south, and we packed up the dogs, and we almost made it to Noble, along with everybody else.
Yeah. That's with pass now, though, you're just picking up now, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of damage around here.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry to hear it. But there's still the What Do You Know quiz. How's that for relief?
How about 155,000?
325,000 is right. Yes, you hit it right on the nose. Right on the nose. Unbelievable. That's how much it would cost you. It must be. And cheeseburger is actually 5,000 extra. So. So what line are you in, Rod?
I'm a letter carrier, city carrier.
Oh, you are? Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm taking my lunch break now.
Oh, you are? Okay, so they can wait just a little bit longer, can't they? They'll get there. They'll get there, man.
Yeah, well, the plant lost power, so it's going to be an easy day.
Oh, okay, wow. Rod, this is George. This is George. He's from
George.
Switzerland.
Hello, Rod.
George is his last name, so you can call him Mr. George, I guess.
Come on.
I could call him Hender, too.
Yeah. Okay, good. You got that. Okay, call him whatever you like. The two of you are a team right now. You work together, and we have various categories. Sarah, next, don't we?
Yes, and they are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Rod, you pick first one. What would you like?
How about odds and ends?
Odds and ends could be anything. Yes, it is. The Earth's core. Some changes in the Earth's core, is it, or has there been? Is it hotter, colder, or just right? Latest measurements of the Earth's core. They use, I don't know if they use x-rays or something. Yeah.
George, you're the engineer.
Yeah, you're the engineer.
Well, getting hotter.
Hotter, you think?
Hotter.
He says hotter, right? You go with that? Yes, hotter.
I could go with that.
Oh, great.
He's a good engineer. He's right. Okay. It's up 1,000 degrees from what they expected to find. Up now 6,000 degrees centigrade. He's here thinking about visiting. That would be...
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
All right. George?
Science.
Science. All right. Did the oldest known great ape that's been discovered, the Barcelona ape, walk upright or somewhat stooped? They found this fossil, of course. Yeah.
Somewhat stooped?
Somewhat stooped, he says.
I could go with that.
It's not his field.
Upright.
You know, he's totally out of his field now.
He might have been upright, George.
Might have been.
I would still stay with Stoop.
You know these Swiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no talking to him.
I don't know, George.
Yeah. Okay, you're going to say stooped.
Okay.
Stooped?
Stooped.
Rod, you have to agree with him. Or not.
Okay.
Huh?
Or not. I think it's... By the fossil evidence, I believe he was, they think he may have been more upright by his spine.
What do you say to that, George?
More upright? Okay. I could go with that, you know.
Okay, upright. He was upright. Yeah, he was surprisingly upright. He had very good posture for a fossilized great ape.
That's 2 right and 0 wrong.
Okay. This is tough working with him.
The categories
remaining... engineers know everything.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Categories remaining, current events, people, places, or things you should have learned in school.
Rod, back to you.
How about things we should have learned in school?
School, okay. Spell canadal. they have canadals in Norman?
I've never heard of them.
Canadalach? A nice bowl of canadalach.
Isn't that what the girl won the spelling bee with?
Right, canadal.
Never heard of it.
Never had. You don't have canadals in Switzerland?
What is a canadal?
It's a matzo ball.
It's a what?
Matzo ball.
Yeah, matzo ball. It's capital K. How did you spell that, Michael?
I don't know. I got it wrong or something. It starts with a K-N. I'll give you that. Okay, canadal.
Yeah, K-N-A-D-A-L.
K-N-E.
No. K-N-A.
K-N-A.
K-N-A-D-A-L. Canadal.
No, it's not a town in Oklahoma.
No.
I'm from Canadal. Well, it's about... okay. Canadal. Okay. K-N-A...
D...
A... Try to get a whole... Canade.
Rod, you have to do that.
Canade L. Canade. Come on, Rod, work with me here.
E-L?
Huh?
E-L?
Come on, you got to read those letters, those addresses and stuff. You should get
them.
You should be able to do this. K-N-A-D-L. This is like remedial Yiddish or something. Sound it out.
Yeah.
K-N-A-D-A-L.
Please don't say A-I.
Okay. Canade. Canade.
Audience.
A-I-D-A-L.
D... L.
L.
Like L. All. L. E-L? L?
E-L?
L? Okay, now put it all together. What do we have? Canadalach. That's what you got.
K-N-A-D-A-L.
Okay, I'll accept that. Because our letter carriers have to go through so much trouble figuring out all those things written on letters that aren't even letters.
That's 3 right and 0 wrong.
Of the alphabet. They've won.
They have, in fact, won.
So can they quit and go home? Can he get on with his route? Or?
Yes, that is possible. Or they could risk it all.
But what do you mean?
I'm on my lunch break. Let's go for it, George.
Rod. Okay, we'll do that.
He's sandbagging it, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Okay, so you got to get this next one right, and you can win everything. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly correct, yes.
If you get it wrong, they lose everything, though, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So what do we have left, then?
Current events, people, or places.
Okay. George, is it back to you, I think it is.
Current event places.
Current events right out of the news, okay.
Let's try it.
Which is the world's happiest nation? According to I don't know who they asked. Maybe they asked people who lived in. I have no idea, but I guess it's recurring. The repeaters, world's happiest nation on the planet.
Ties?
Would it be Sweden?
No. He's been to Sweden, you know, like Sweden.
Yeah.
No, it's not Sweden. Swedes. It's not Switzerland.
Any hints, Michael?
Yes, it's a very large nation. This nation is so big, it could be a continent.
Australians?
I didn't say that. Don't ask me to give hints. You know, I give like the worst hint. I always give the answer when I give a hint. The wrong guy to ask. So you're saying it's Australia's number, the world's happiest nation, Australia? That's what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Rod, are you saying that too?
Yeah, I'll go with it.
Yes, it's a tribute to the abundance of fosters in Australia. Holy cow. How did they ever get there? They're very happy there.
George, Ben Sidran's book, There Was a Fire, Jews, Music, and the American Dream, will be what you're discussing over lunch with none other than Ben Sidran himself at Madison's Black Hawk Country Club on Tuesday, June 11th, sponsored by the Madison Public Library Foundation to benefit the 2013 Wisconsin Book Festival.
Are you going to be here?
June 11th?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Well, after that, you can imagine a breathtaking
view. You can sell them. Sell the tickets. Sell them.
Okay,
get a good.
Good.
Piece of,
yeah. Good idea.
Yeah, sell them.
Imagine a breathtaking view of the Gulf of Mexico wearing a Shaggy's Biloxi Beach t-shirt. Use a multicolored pen from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center to write your idle musings on a classy notepad from the Greater Green Bay Convention and Visitors Bureau. And tell your sticky wickets from your big flops by consulting What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Rod, start your day ahead of the game with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend and banish the afternoon blahs with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terrasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. Examine marriage and love, grief, regret, and hope in The Obituary Writer by Ann Hood from W.W. Norton & Company. Combine sharply defined reality with a surreal leap of the imagination in Wylene Dunbar's My Life with Corpses, published by Harcourt. And lighten up by reading essays like The Grateful Living and Instructions to the Pallbearers in Roger Rosenblatt's Anything Can Happen, Notes on My Inadequate Life and Yours, also from Harcourt. Congratulations to you both.
Whoa.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Yeah. Thanks, Rod. Thanks for playing. Best of luck to you down there. Nice. And our best to everyone down there. And George, did a great job.
Thank you very much.
Send you back with some tickets you can't use.
Click over to notmuch.com to keep the What Do You Know fun going throughout the week. You can join our Facebook family, enjoy Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, comedy writer and last girlfriend on Earth author Simon Rich calls into the show. Plus, we fast pitch some memos and break up a splinter cell during the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who believes in free Zumba, it's Michael Feldman.
Believes in what? Free Zumba. Do we have any Zumbaists in the house? How's that going? No. I mean, you know. I mean, how's it going? You know? Zumba. Huh? Is it going good? How many times a week you go? Oh, a different Zumba. Oh, okay, it's not the main school of Zumba. Okay. Well, you know, each week at this time, we get actual memos sent in by actual listeners. That's right. Here's one. This is kind of a the comment on this is my husband plays travel softball. She says, "This is a memo from one of the players. This is a memo from the travel softball team to the other players." It reads as follows. Good day, guys. Hope everyone is safe. I wanted to say a few things about our team. This is not to offend anyone, but to improve while trying to go forward. We have a team of guys all over the South, North Carolina's together, trying to have a good tourney team, yet I don't see a commitment as a team. I'm totally retired now, which means I can work on my game. I do the gym, league, hit, but three guys and myself practice once a week. We hit to the outfield, and I practice throwing to all bases and run scuffing up ground balls. That being said, when I come to a tourney, I am ready. I expect everyone to be ready in some form, also because you signed up to play. We are all 65 and over, which means this team will be together for a while. Not a long while. With the additions of Doug and Jack, I feel we got the guys needed. Next outing, we also have Gene. Now we have two pitchers. Raleigh has been great these last two outings, but Dennis, you are our number one pitcher, and you are on the bench when we are fighting for our lives. Our infield is good now with the additions and the Twins getting better, which means that our bench will have starters on it. Our problem are talking and playing as one. When I go to games, I watch teams, everybody talk, how many outs, where's the play going, who's receiving at second, and where they hit. We don't do that all the times. I have asked and asked, but to no avail. When I play all until the game is over. I have seen some of us quit. Our prevs should be as a practice because we don't play together when home, whatever that means. So when our tourneys start, we are ready. Everyone wants to play at these tourneys, and I agree somewhat, but if you don't work on your game and are not prepared to play, then you should tell the manager we don't travel hundreds of miles to play a few and go home. We play to win the tournament. Also, we should set a time to eat as a team. Some like to relax a little, some to shower, and some to have a beer. But if a game ends at 6 and you eat at 6:30, that's not taking all into consideration. I have been asked a few times to play with other teams lately, but I made a commitment to try Rebels. I gave my word, and that's all I have. But if we aren't commitment as a team, but as individuals on a weekend for a little rec, then let me know. As the saying goes, a team wins together. Individuals don't win squat. Enjoy the weekend. There you have it. Thank you for that inter-team memo on what teamwork is all about. Okay. That was probably all tweeted or something. You know, 140 characters at a time, so it took some effort to do that. You think about it. And where can these memos and other communications be sent?
Can send memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org and put in the subject line memos. Or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Oh, either way. Huh?
Yep.
And can they use the mails?
They can use the mails, yes.
You don't know how to do that, do you? Because you don't do that.
I am familiar with what a stamp is. If they want to use snail mail, the address is 821 University.
Can you stop calling it snail mail? That's so insulting for those of us who think of it as mail.
Escargot mail. It's escargot mail. 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Carol, what do you know? Thanks for the memos. They can also tweet them to you.
Oh, how do you do that?
Your Twitter handle is @myfeldman.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But I don't follow me, do I? Simon Rich has got a new one out. Simon Rich is a comedy writer, SNL comedy writer, the second youngest comedy writer ever on Saturday Night Live, Simon Rich. The new one is called The Last Girlfriend on Earth. It's about girlfriends, largely. And he's on the phone with us right now from Oakland. Are you on tour there, Simon?
I live here, actually.
Well, you live in Oakland.
Yeah, I moved out here with my girlfriend, and it's beautiful, you know. But she's from Wisconsin.
Where is she from? In Wisconsin.
Mequon.
That's not Wisconsin. Oh yeah, that is. That's right. I've been to Mequon.
She lied to me.
Yeah, it's a nice little fishing village, Mequon. Yeah, a lot of people go. It's near Thiensville, which is the scenic part of Mequon is called Thiensville. I don't know if you know that.
That's easy to remember.
Yeah, so do you ever get back here then, to Mequon area? Or?
Yeah, I went there for over the Christmas holidays, and it was a lot of fun. I saw a Homestead Highlanders high school hockey game.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they're great.
They pay a lot for that team. They're actually professionals. They have a lot of money in Mequon, so they actually buy professional players for the high school teams. You know,
it's kind of... I think it's a good strategy.
It's real. Why not? You can do it. The Last Girlfriend on Earth. Now, so this book is like either you have had a lot of experience with women or like very little. Which is it? Because it's a lot of frustration, misunderstanding, and awkward moments in trying to mate, basically.
Yeah, it's true. I would say the embarrassing parts are realistic and autobiographical, and the triumphant parts maybe a little bit more made up.
Yeah. I do love the alternative title, Love in the Time of HPV. That's a good title.
I wanted to go with it. My publisher said it was too, you know, on the nose.
Too on the nose. I don't know. That was a good one. Your brother writes the apocalyptic stuff, right? And you're the comic stuff. When you get together, I mean, can you talk to one another?
Yeah, we mostly just talk about baseball.
Just baseball?
Yeah, it's sort of right down the middle. I guess we've both sort of written about the apocalypse with our recent books.
Yeah, but yours is like a comic apocalypse. The apocalypse is incidental to your dating problems for you.
Yeah. The story of The Last Girlfriend on Earth, it's just a guy who, a plague wipes out all the women except for his girlfriend, and all the men on Earth remain. And he's pretty convinced that they're all hitting on his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Which they are, because she's the last one left.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not in his head.
Right. So, and that's pretty much your experience, even without the apocalypse? Because every guy thinks that probably, you know, in their 20s, let's say.
Yeah, that's really with all these stories. I spent a lot of years writing pretty realistic fiction about my love life and stories about being in your 20s and about dating, and the stories were so boring because my life just wasn't that unique or interesting.
Mm.
And so eventually I decided I'm not going to write about this stuff the way it happens. I'm going to write about it the way it feels. Because, you know, when you get a girl's phone number, you are sort of expecting a call from the president and a MacArthur Genius grant. And when, you know, and when your girlfriend is your ex-girlfriend's dating somebody new, it is sort of like they're dating a war criminal.
Yeah, so, dating Hitler.
Exactly. Yeah. This is one of the stories. Yeah. A guy finds out his ex-girlfriend is dating Hitler, and everyone else tells him he needs to calm down about it.
Yeah. Right. Of course, then there's the other side of that. When you're dating Mother Teresa.
Yeah, exactly. That's a story about a guy who. You know, everyone tells him he should be more happy about his relationship because she's so sweet. You know, she's like a saint. But, you know, he's just, they're not physically compatible.
Yeah. So these are just actually things that have happened to you that you escalate into these proportions, right? Dating Mother Teresa,
exactly.
dating a Hitler. Your girlfriend's dating a Hitler now.
These are all very personal. Yeah, so it's a weird book, and there's trolls, and there's time travel and stuff, but it's actually very personal.
Yeah. But the girlfriend repair shop?
Yeah, that's sort of a fantasy about a computer programmer whose girlfriend was blaming him for all their relationship problems, but it turned out that she just had a screw loose.
And your girlfriend, did she read that one? Did she proofread any of this stuff? Or?
The book is dedicated to her.
I know, but still.
But did she read it? I don't know. I guess we could get her on the horn.
Because, you know, that might, you know, some might take offense at that actually they're automatons, you know, they could be fixed, and it's all just kind of a screw loose problem. And
yeah,
when you reach that,
I think the men come out pretty poorly in a lot of the stories as well.
That's true.
You know, I think hopefully I don't think the book glorifies men either.
Yeah, hopefully everyone comes out poorly, you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's always the goal.
In a comic fashion. All these things get to the point where she's saying, what is this? I mean, I love that. Is that like the phrase of your generation, you think?
I think so. Hopefully we'll be able to beat that phrase, to come with a better one by the time we all die. But I think in your 20s, there's especially now, people are getting married later and later, And it's always a tense moment in a new relationship when you have to kind of define and articulate where things are going.
Yeah. What is this?
A lot of stories about that, yeah.
Yeah. Which, and what does that mean if you were actually analyzing what that statement, that means, like, what does that mean when they say that? What is this relationship?
Yeah. I think in my grandparents' generation, marriage was a prerequisite for any kind of intimacy.
Yeah.
And so, I think that if you had to get married in order to go on a proper date, I think, people would get married a lot younger.
Yeah, so
there's stories about people not being able to go out on dates without chaperones just a couple generations ago. So, things have changed.
You think your dad had chaperones on his dates?
I hope so.
Frank?
I hope so.
He's very proud of you, by the way. I've talked to Frank.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. You didn't know that? He's proud of, he's proud of you and Nat equally.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
What about you? Who are you more proud of?
I'm proud of you both as well. And I'm proud of your dad.
Come on.
I'm also proud of your dad, so I'm proud of a whole family. I'm proud of the entire rich family.
I'll tell him. He'll be thrilled.
Yeah. Your dad, for me, was like the savior during the Bush years.
Right.
Right. Because he was the one guy who was telling it like it was. You know, all his weapons of mass destruction, all this stuff going on. All the other people in the New York Times were folding, into the general, line, the party line, And he was the one guy who was writing, and I waited every week to read what he was going to say, and it was so. And then he quit the Times, and I was so mad at him. Because I was rudderless then, at that point. But that this political stuff was never appealed to you, particularly. You're always the comic guy.
Yeah, my favorite writers, a lot of respect for that, for essayists, and my greatest... the heroes growing up were always guys like Kurt Vonnegut or P.C. Boyle or Stephen King or Douglas Adams or Joe Heller, comedy premise-driven writers.
Yeah. And actually, in a way, I mean, you're a young man and everything. Well, you're almost in your 30s, though, so you got to watch out now. You're turning a corner.
Yeah,
you're going to be 29, right?
Soon, in a few days.
Yeah. Scary. Anyway, as I recall, it's been a while since I turned 29. But in a sense, your kind of approach is sort of old-fashioned almost. It is sort of like Thurber-esque, on that level.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, definitely in the sense that I throw a lot of stuff out there and see what sticks. I think that a lot of my favorite writers wrote an almost embarrassing number of books. I mean, if you look at P.G. Woodhouse, there's like a book a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of my heroes. So, I've always felt that the best way to go about things is just to crank out as much as possible, and the good stuff will hopefully float to the top.
Oh. Is it good training to write on Saturday Night Live and for future comic?
Definitely. And it's similar, because as a staff, we wrote 50 sketches a week, and, six or seven would actually make it onto television.
Yeah.
So you had an enormous turnover, and that pace really trained me, I think, for this book. Because there are only about 30 stories in the book, but I probably wrote 100.
No.
Most didn't make it.
What's Seth Meyer really like?
Really nice.
Beyond that, come on, we know he's really nice.
He genuinely is that nice. And a great teacher. He was head writer when I got there. Tina Fey had just left, and Seth was one of the head writers, and he taught me a ton about comedy writing and also about television writing, because you have to produce your own sketches over there. The writer of the sketch is responsible for the sets and the music and the graphics and casting and sometimes even the camera shots. Obviously they have a lot of help, but the buck sort of stops with them, and they get the credit or the blame when the production doesn't work. My first year, I came from magazine, so I I was terrible at all the visual elements of it. And Seth helped me so much with that stuff. I don't know how I would have gotten through that year without him.
Yeah. I read somewhere you were talking about that Peter Pan skit that you did.
Yeah, I read a sketch about Peter Pan, and Lorne said to me after dress rehearsal, he was angry, and he said, "You can see the wires." And I thought that he was some kind of comedy lingo that I hadn't picked up on yet, but he meant you could physically see the wires.
Yeah.
Because I had screwed up the blocking.
Oh. And he was mad about that. So did you fix that?
Yeah, I hope so. I haven't watched it on YouTube recently, but I hopefully fixed it a little bit.
So you were actually like producing and directing besides writing this stuff, and you had to all do that like in a 2 or 3 day period, right? Get it all blocked.
Yeah, right, because you write the show on Monday and Tuesday, and then on Wednesday they read all the sketches out loud at a big table, and they pick about 10 or 12, and those go to, but you produce them all, and at 10 p.m. on Saturday night you do a 2-hour episode, and then you cut the worst half hour.
Oh, I see. Not always, I'll tell you. Sometimes.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Is that Lorne makes that decision, I suppose, right? What's the worst?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't get credit for the sketches, though, right?
Well, sometimes that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. But are there one or two that you stand out that you did that you're really super proud of? Or?
My favorite sketch was probably a commercial parody I wrote for a dog food. Mm-hmm. So it's called Mostly Garbage.
Good concept.
Because you love your dog, but you know, the economy isn't great, and it's just a dog. It's not a person. So it had riboflavin and stuff in it, and vitamins, but it was mostly garbage.
Mostly garbage. Yeah, it's a good concept. I like it. Now the book, this is The Last Girlfriend on Earth, and we got, I did want to mention the sex aliens from the planet Sex, because that stirred something in me, I'm not sure what.
But that's an interesting story.
Yeah. And I'm sort of curious as to the real life counterpart of that happening, these people who are about to commit in a relationship, when suddenly the sex aliens from the planet Sex appear and offer them unboundless sex with beautiful people, and they have to either accept or they're about to commit. So.
Yeah, he's just said yes.
He's just said yeah. It's Casey. Right.
And he turns them and he finds out that it's not because he's good looking. It's their eyesight. These aliens, their eyesight is very poor, but they have strongly developed senses of smell, and they can smell confidence. And the moment he started dating somebody, he had what he had lacked for many years, which was confidence.
Yes.
And he became impossibly attractive to these highly developed sexual beings. And then ultimately, though, by the time he decides he's going to commit this act of infidelity, they're no longer interested in him because he's desperate and they can smell it.
They can smell it, yeah. They can smell the desperation. So now the counterpart in real life to that one, can you talk about it or not?
I mean, I think everybody deals with that. Hopefully the issues in the book aren't... I like to think I wrote about pretty universal...
Yeah, okay, you don't want to talk about it. That's fine. That's okay. That's cool. I don't blame you.
Hopefully.
but, you know, being a writer on Saturday Night Live, you might probably get a lot of groupies and stuff, I would think, whether you want to or not.
Have you seen the show?
Yeah.
It's not really a writer's... I mean, I think that being a writer, you're... it's not like being an actor.
Yeah, okay. All right. So that doesn't happen, what you say.
Or a radio host.
Yeah, no, that's what's known as a dry hole.
You're a radio host.
In the oil business.
I can only imagine what kind of... I mean, I don't know what the scene is like right now, but where you're at, but I just imagine hordes of women surrounding you.
Yes, hordes. There's a D in there. Okay. And Elliot Allagash, is that coming out as a movie soon?
Yeah, I'm actually working on it today.
Cool.
It's been really fun turning that novel into a screenplay, and I'm excited about it.
Oh, that sounds really cool. And this is where you take Ivan the Terrible and you put him in high school,
it's about the richest kid in the world, Elliot Allagash, and he's a total monster, and he's been expelled from every reputable prep school on Earth. And his father gives so much money to a school that he basically can't get expelled no matter what he does. So out of boredom, he takes the least popular, dumbest kid in the class and kind of My Fair Lady style turns his life around.
Yeah. So it's a little sort of Pygmalion kind of thing, like a perverse sort of Pygmalion thing.
Yeah, exactly. He says, whatever you want, I can buy it for you. And it's very, devil's bargain sort of story.
Yeah. Do we have an Elliot Allagash actor in mind, or can we not say that yet?
I usually like to be the, as a screenwriter, you always want to be the last person to break news.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you have the least power, so it wouldn't do to,
It would not do. Okay. Given all the possibilities. Well, that's coming out soon. That's great. And I saw that thing, Drinks with Writers. That's really a cool little show.
Yeah. It's almost redundant, that title.
it's about writers who drink and writers drinking and drinking with writers and whatever comes out of that. That's pretty good. You're not a drinker, though, I wouldn't think. I'm a big drinker, right?
Not too badly, I hope.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And okay, well, thanks for your time. I know you're busy and you got to go off. And it's not Last Girlfriend on Earth is the collection. It's very funny. You want to read it. And remember, your dad's very proud of you. Both of you boys equally.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
I hope you are too.
Yeah, I am too. Simon Rich, ladies and gentlemen. Last Girlfriend on Earth. Another love story. What a family. Okay.
Cool. I didn't realize he was Frank's son.
Yeah. And then there's Nathaniel, who wrote the Apocalypse one. What's that book called that he wrote? Odds Against Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's big now.
Yeah. Very good book. So, a talented family. But you have, like, the comedy and tragedy in one family.
And politics in the middle there with the dad.
Yeah, overarching.
Yeah.
Yes. Plus theater. He actually was a theater reviewer for many years.
Wow.
Huh? A lot like our backgrounds.
Yeah, you
pretty
and me,
much the same.
We're all theater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're thespians.
Okay. Our you things, then.
Good, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. Good. Staying busy?
Pretty, not too bad, yeah.
So you're not staying busy?
No, busy is always relative, you know.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff, how about you? Staying busy?
Sure, yeah.
You're hyper busy.
Actually,
you're always doing everything.
He doesn't have a gig tonight.
You don't have a gig tonight? What's the matter with you? You should have a gig tonight, man. Can you set something up real quick?
Well,
store opening? There's got to be a store opening somewhere.
Jeff's having date night tonight, so it's...
This is date night?
Yeah.
Does your wife know?
I hope so.
Do you do that, where you arrange a date night with your wife?
Yeah.
I've heard about people doing that. Does that work?
It does, yeah.
How often do you have one of those?
Whenever I don't have a gig.
What?
It's about once every 8 months.
Whenever you don't have a gig every 8 months, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Where are you going to go?
We haven't decided yet.
No?
No.
He'll just wing it. The last minute, he'll pick a great restaurant and spend a lot of money, and then they'll go out. And.
Did you get the sitter and everything?
Yeah, our daughter's going to sit.
Oh, jeez.
Your daughter is going to sit for herself?
And our two boys. She's old enough now.
How old is she now? 12? Okay. Oh,
she's 12, but she's like more like 22.
I know. She always was.
Yeah, she's a very smart girl.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Not that the boys aren't smart, but...
Okay. So shouldn't you be making reservations or something? No?
Probably.
Okay. That's cool. Did you ever do that? Date night with your wife?
It's maybe not quite that official. It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go for pizza. Okay.
But no, this is where you set a date and a time, and you got to be there, and you got to dress for it, and make, you know.
You got to dress for it?
Don't you? Sure. Depending where you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you people do that? Do you have date nights? Applaud if you have date nights with your spouse. Isn't that something?
It's not too enthusiastic.
Applaud if you don't have date nights with your spouse. Applaud if you have date nights with someone else's spouse. Oh, okay, well, there's a smattering. Okay, that's cool. Interesting. Takes all kinds. Goes to show you. Now, this little tune here, is this one that you wrote?
No. This is for all those people that don't have date nights, and it's called I Should Care.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay, I'm back. You're a wonderful audience. Give yourself a big round of applause. That always works. That always works. Neil Lord of Madison asks, what are you doing with your rhubarb? What have you heard, Neil? I don't understand your question, actually. Where is Neil? Lord Madison. What am I doing with my rhubarb? What are you doing with your rhubarb, Neil? Your friends and enemies get your rhubarb? You have a lot of rhubarb? Why don't you come down here, because they probably would like it if you stepped on them as opposed to me. Yes, because you're a light guy. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Happy to be here. This is my first time.
First time?
Yes.
Well, it took you so long. It's been on for a while, you know.
It has. But we had our guests from out of town, and we thought that we'd come down.
Is the Switzerland?
Yes.
George? I mean, what's his name?
Yes. They're both here.
Yeah. They're both here. Oh, hi. Are you with George? Yeah. No. Oh, hi. Are you with George? No one will admit it. Okay. All right. The rhubarb question.
Yeah, so... How much what to do with rhubarb since we have so much.
How much do you have? I'll give me some. I brought it. Why don't you bring it?
I'm sorry.
Talking the abstract about rhubarb, that's frustrating. I love it. An apple pie.
Apple pie?
Yeah.
No, we do
rhubarb and apple? Strawberry. Strawberry pie.
All
right. I love it in apple pie, too. I'll put rhubarb in any pie. Watch
me. I
like
to put it in the strawberry jello. That's really good.
Oh, that's disgusting. I mean, because it stays rhubarb. I mean, it's writing in a crunch, something crunchy in your jello.
Right, but pie is the best, that's for sure.
Yeah. Why don't you go to something else besides rhubarb?
Well, we do have other things, but that's what's coming out this time of year.
Yeah.
So,
what else have you got?
Asparagus.
Oh, my God. You know, you got to diversify.
Yeah, sure. But we have to work with what the deer don't eat.
Where are you where you have all this stuff growing?
We have a farm out in Iowa County.
Oh, you do, yeah?
Yeah, near Barneville.
Oh, okay. No soybeans or anything normal?
Well, the farmer puts that in, but we put things around the house.
Okay. Well, next time, bring the rhubarb, then we'll talk.
All right.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you. Neil's got rhubarb. If you want some, get his number before you leave here, because he's got the rhubarb. Put it in your apple pie. I'm telling you, you're missing something if you haven't had an apple pie. Does the corner tavern culture of Wisconsin affect Wisconsin humor? It certainly does in the tavern. You know, outside of it, I don't know. This is Ted Kalkwarf? Kalkwarf. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you an expert on tavern humor? Because I am not. It's rare to find actual humor in the tavern.
Yes, it is. Sure is.
Yes. If you're the sober one, that's time you don't want to be in a tavern, actually. So have you studied tavern culture?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
When they're drying out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When they're in recovery.
Oh, okay. So what end of that is that for you, then? A counselor or a...
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, you looking at me so intensely. I'm sitting, you're making me very unconscious, self-conscious. Okay, but you're not a tavern owner or something like that?
No.
Do you think there is such a thing as tavern culture and tavern culture humor?
I do.
Okay. Tell me one, then, since you're in the mood.
Where's the cop heading out tonight?
Where's the cop heading? Is that the whole thing?
They know where his hiding place is. When they leave, they send a trial sober guy out, and he gets tested, and then they sneak out the other direction.
Oh, well, that's that culture. That's cultural.
That's Wisconsin culture.
Well, Ted, it's been hallucinating speaking. I'd like to have one right now, actually, to understand.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Wisconsin tavern culture. You send out the sober guy and have him drive erratically. He gets stopped and tests fine, and that makes it easier on the next guy coming. I'm thinking of transplanting my tulips. When is the time right? It's fine. Good time to do it. A lot of them do it anytime. Some of them do it like in the middle of winter because there's nothing else to do. I just got to put a red flag up where your tulips are. That's the only thing, like, you know, fire hydrants. And I just dig them up randomly because if you don't do it, the squirrels will. So, Linda, any other questions? Tulips or anything else? Where's Linda went? She went. Okay. Why did I even bother with this? I was so thoughtful addressing that. Do you suppose the water on Mars would make good beer? Guys from St. Paul, figures. Okay. Who's on top of the Capitol? Scott Walker? Ha ha. Okay. Are you from here? Yeah, okay. Not easy to laugh. I'm here this weekend with 9 guys from high school. Where is that crowd then? The 9 guys from high school crowd. Oh, they're right down here. 9 guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I count 5 guys.
Well, they're not
You're
all.
Missing 4 guys from high school.
Yeah, we stayed up kind of late, so not everybody could make it all out. Yeah.
What were you doing?
Poker and playing cards and.
And playing cards.
Chess and some board games.
Which one you played poker? Which one you played cards? Is there like a hearts group among them?
Well, it's mostly Texas Hold'em and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, but yeah,
money or for?
Yeah, we have a little buy-in and then a little tournament to play and stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah.
How much did you lose?
Actually, I came out ahead about $20. So
the guy comes out ahead. That guy.
No, not really. But I got kind of lucky. So, but my friends, 3 of them actually, they just cut for hundreds once. Yeah, that was like, they said, let's cut for hundreds. And
which one of you was that? You cut for hundreds?
I did 100, yeah.
Okay.
It did not so well. No. No, not so good. But I feel good for Rich. He's sleeping in.
Yeah. Where are they sleeping in? In the park? Or where'd you get?
We get some rooms over at the Concourse Hotel and get a parlor room and then the rooms around it, so because we're up late and stuff like that. So, but yeah.
Were there any calls to the front desk about your behavior in the hotel?
We kind of try to get the rooms around it because we're kind of loud, and actually, I'm kind of loud too. But yeah.
And what high school was this then?
It's Wausau West.
Wausau West. Fighting
Warriors.
Fighting Warriors. Natch, you got to be fighting if you're a warrior. Of course. Yeah. Are all friends since then?
Yeah, we graduated 81, 82, and 83, and we went to college.
You 3 years to graduate?
Well, just, yeah. We tried, we endeavored, but we did do it, yes. Yes. So, yes, and then we all went to college together, and we were all engineers and a librarian.
It's pretty scary, isn't it? I mean, it's like a cult almost.
Yeah, we're kind of spread out. I'm in Minneapolis, and we're in Wausau, Eau Claire, and Madison, and we all just kind of get together once a year. So. Yeah.
Cool, and you guys all stayed friends. Who's the unifier here?
I don't know if there's.
Is there a unifier in the group? I just got
maybe Rich, I guess. I don't know.
You're the unifier?
No, I'm not.
The enforcer? Are you the enforcer?
No. We're a pretty agreeable bunch. Yes. No enforcer.
In high school, you guys were tight.
Yeah, we're all.
Was it a team sort of thing? Did you all play?
We're the computer guys hanging out by the computers and stuff like that.
The computer nerds.
Yeah, pretty much.
You were the guys in the days before it was cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's kind of disappointing. Actually, it got really cool once you guys left school.
Yeah, it was. It got to be, you know, we were lucky that it was what we liked to do, and it turned out we could actually make a living at it, so it was good too. So, yeah, yeah. So,
you guys, none of you guys played sports or anything?
Skied.
No. Swimmer.
One swimmer? Okay, okay. So the practice time took you away from the guys, though.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, it worked out. Okay.
Isn't that cool? So we got, your name is?
Pat.
Pat.
Splinter.
Pat Splinter.
And he looks like a splinter.
Yeah. And it's the Splinter group, I guess we could say that.
Steve Scott.
Chris Schumann.
Jim Dettinger.
How about these guys?
Oh, Brian Curley.
Brian, I'm sorry, Brian. Krebs! Holy cow! How could we help them celebrate? This is pretty cool, these guys.
Well, if they're game players, we could send each of them home with What Do You Know, the party game.
Yeah,
it includes a bobblehead.
We could. Yeah.
Out of wine?
I don't know. We might be out of wine, but we can see what we can do.
Or what else?
How about the party game and some wine?
Okay, yeah. Now I think we're getting somewhere, yeah.
Yes, so that would be for each of you a bottle of Domaine de Sac or Prairie Fumé from Wollersheim Winery.
We're going to hear from them, okay.
Yes, they will not be happy with us. And What Do You Know, the party game, including the matchless Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box
Publishing.
All right,
Publishing. You guys. Nice to have you here. Cool, very cool. Thank you, guys. Wish I was part of the group, but it wasn't my era. All right, we're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because that's what we do here. So this is you saw how it worked last time, or it didn't. It did, pretty much, sometimes, more than others. Here's your chance to play the What Do You Know quiz. That's right. The Splinter group? Splinters. You know, we owe them something. Representing the Splinter group, we have Splinter himself up here. Come on up here. Okay. All right, that seems only fair. Okay, Splinter. let's see. I got the Splinter part. What's the first name again?
Pat.
Pat, of course. Pat Splinter.
I've actually played once before.
You did?
Yeah, I called in one time.
When was it?
I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago. Okay. Oh, actually, yeah, about 5 years ago.
Okay, that's good. That's expired.
Good.
Probably get the same stuff, though. I hope you don't mind. We just had a shipload of stuff, you know.
Okay.
Hard to move it.
I got some, like, Tibetan bowl thing or something.
Yeah. So now, you're working as an engineer now? Okay.
Yes.
Is that electrical engineering? Or?
No, I'm a software guy.
You're a software?
Yeah. Cool. Actually, a few of my friends are hardware guys, but they all wind up writing software, too. So.
Oh, some of you guys are hardware, some are software.
Yep. And a librarian.
That's cool. And, like, have all the girlfriends... Are all your girlfriends from high school?
We're actually, it took a long time, but we're all actually married now, so yes.
Yeah. Did they have to pass muster with the other guys?
No, the gamut? Not really, no.
Of the Splinter group?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. And so who are you doing that for, this software stuff?
Microsoft, actually.
Are you?
Yeah, I just started about a year ago, so.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Where are you, at the campus?
In St. Paul, there's an office, there's a developer group, it's about 40 guys.
Oh, cool.
There,
so, wow.
Yeah, yeah. God, but I was at another company for about 13 years, and
yeah,
it kind of pulled me out of that. So
yeah. What company was that, or can't we say?
QLogic is a smaller company.
I've heard of QLogic.
Yeah.
Didn't they buy them out or something?
QLogic?
Yeah.
They sold some stuff off to Intel, but that's okay. But that's about it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a rigmarole, isn't it?
Yeah, it was 13 years was too long for one place, so okay. I had to get out, so.
Does Microsoft have a campus like the Google thing?
It's awesome. It would be great. I went out there once.
Okay, are you allowed to say what's inside the buildings? Or?
A free soda, which is really cool. And it's just like, you know.
Free soda?
It's just, you know, I'm trying to be off of my caffeine because I run marathons and the caffeine's just not good for me. And you go out there and it's just like, oh, God, I'm just going to start. Now you wind up drinking Mountain Dew again. It's not good for me, so.
That's it, free soda? Don't they have they have ride bicycles around Google?
Yeah, it's also it's they got like you running paths that you can go through, and it's a really nice area. It's just if it was not so far away from my family, I would jump on it. So
free Zumba.
Yeah, free Zumba.
Free Zumba. That's cool. Well, that sounds great. All right, Pat, someone out there, we'll play along with you. That's how the quiz works, and pretty much it works. And how do they do that, though?
They pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question of some kind.
Oh, thank you for reminding me that. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do that. That's what I do. When snatching items to decorate its bower, the bower bird prefers what color of item? They're quite specific, the bower birds are. I don't know if you've noticed that. So they have stones and shells and all kinds of stuff. There's a particular color that a bower bird likes to look for when decorating their bower. And that's the question. We want to know that color. And let's go to the phones right now. Ruth's on the line in Rochester. Hi, Ruth.
Wow. This is like a dream come true. I'm actually on the phone with you.
I feel the same way, Ruth. Finally, after years.
Yeah, I know. Well, okay, I have no idea about the bower bird, but let's say yellow.
Oh, no, I'm afraid that's not it then.
Well, I knew. I mean, the dream couldn't go on too much longer, so thank you.
Okay, all right, bye. Oh, God, I should have given it to her. When am I going to talk to Ruth again from Rochester? It's Ruth Chester, as far as I'm concerned. New York, okay. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
How are things in Springfield, Mo?
Things in Springfield are wonderful, but they haven't been quite the same since the last time you were here. I was actually at 180K Hammond's Hall at your show, and it was absolutely fun and wonderful.
Wasn't that fun? That was a fun show. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I want to come back. We got to come back to Springfield. I love it down there.
Oh, come back anytime.
Thank you. Rebecca, you know about the bower bird at all?
I have never heard of the bower bird, but I'm glad that Ruth was on before me because yellow was going to be my guess.
Oh, no, it's not
so
yellow.
So since I know that's not the right answer, I'm going to try red.
No, and someone will be glad they're on after you.
Evidently.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well. It was fun trying. This is the first time that I've ever tried that I've ever actually gotten through.
I know. Now I feel even worse. Will you stop? I'm feeling terrible now. I let people down. Sorry, though.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Desiree.
Yes?
How are you?
Good.
You're in Grantsville, Maryland, I see here. And having a good morning? Have things lined up for today?
Yeah. My birthday is Tuesday, so I'm going to a birthday dinner tonight.
Oh, you are? Where are they taking you?
Unfortunately, just to my father-in-law's.
Oh, to your father-in-law's. Okay. Is he a good cook?
Well, he got the big green egg, and he wants to try it out, so we'll see.
He's making a big green egg?
No, it's a type of a grill. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, no. Okay.
Green egg.
Oh, so he's going to grill then?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's he going to grill, do you know?
Steaks.
Oh, sounds good. Desiree. All right. The bower bird, however, prefers what color?
I was going to say red, but since she said red, I am going to say brown.
Oh.
Green.
Oh. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Okay, thank
you. I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore. I'm letting people know. Hi, Victor. How you doing?
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good.
Where is Carterville, Illinois?
We're right between Carbondale and Marion.
Oh, you are. Down south. Victor, you know about the bower bird, what color it prefers? We know it's not yellow, red, green, brown.
I believe it's blue.
Yes, you're right, Victor. It's the only remaining color that I know of. Purple, I guess. Way to go, Victor. Did you know that for a fact, by the way?
I wasn't sure, but I used the internet.
Oh. Too late to disqualify you for that, Victor, but just don't mention it next time, okay? What do you do down there in Carterville, Victor?
I'm retired.
Yeah, from?
Government.
Okay. Which government, you don't want to say?
State.
State government? Okay. Let's go. Victor, this is Pat.
Hi, Victor.
Hey, Pat.
I wish I was retired.
Yeah. I'm sure you will be one of these days. You are a team now, Pat and Victor, okay?
All right.
Use all your combined experience on the What Do You Know quiz. What do we got there?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Victor, you pick first. What would you like?
Let's try current events.
Current events, right out of the news. The Principality of Jersey Shore. That's what it is. I don't know what to call it. Jersey Shore wants to ban what? This made all the news recently. They want to ban a certain form of dress. I'll tell you that much. At the Jersey Shore.
I have no idea.
Certain tendency to dress.
Sagging pants?
Sagging pants, Victor says.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Like the, yeah, pull down. I'll go with that.
You nailed it. Yes, awesome. Sagging pants. Yeah. They want to ban it. Too much of that going on due to the Jersey
Nice
Shore.
Job, Victor.
That's Thank one you. Right and zero wrong.
Okay, and what's left there?
People, Sarah. Places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, there. Pat?
Things we should have learned in school.
Things you should have learned in school. There it is right there. Do nematodes and humans share a common ancestor? Nematodes are, of course, worms, simple worms. Humans, of course, are simple humans.
Victor, what is a nematode?
Worm. It's a worm.
A worm, I believe.
It's a worm.
Okay.
Yeah.
A common ancestor?
Do nematodes and humans share a common ancestor? Simple question.
I believe in creation, so I would have to say no.
Oh, okay. No. You say no. Now, if you didn't believe in creation...
I would lean yes on that.
Myself. Just judging by, you know, the character of worms and humans.
Well, if you kind of go back, it's got to, you know, divert. No. Number, at some point, millions, billions even, you know?
No more than 4,000 years. 4,000 years ago, did they share a common ancestor is the question. So you're saying yes, they did?
I would lean yes, Victor. What do you think?
Victor, will you accept that under the circumstances?
Okay, we'll go.
Okay, yes, that's right. 600 million years ago. Then they had a big breakup, and the worms went one way, and the human types went the other way, and it was okay.
That is two right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Back to Victor. What would you like, Vic? Tor?
Places.
You probably don't like Vic, right?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to be, you know, overly familiar, you know. What'd you say? Places?
Places,
Places, okay. The cleanest city in the U.S. of A. Is it Duluth, Superior, or Peoria?
Duluth and Superior, like.
Well, I lived in Peoria for 2.5 years, so I kind of doubt that. But.
Okay. Let's eliminate. So it's either Duluth or Superior. They are next to each other. They're twin cities, but one is clean and.
Oh, man.
One's a wannabe.
Wow. They're like, that would have to be a guess for me on that one.
Like to say which way the wind blows, I guess.
Boy, I tell you, it's a crapshoot. Well, Duluth has got more the barges come in over there. Maybe it's Superior would probably be cleaner, I think.
No?
No, or maybe Duluth. Duluth.
Victor, what do you think?
I'm not at all familiar with the area.
So okay.
I think
I'll go with Pat.
Well, I think we should lean Duluth on this
they
one.
They both seem nice. I've been to both. What?
I think we should lean Duluth.
Duluth?
All right.
Duluth, yes, yeah. Duluth, cleanest city in the U.S. It all blows on to Superior as the wind comes out of the west. So you've won and you could quit, and we're in the same situation here, or they could go on for everything.
That's right, they could risk it all for the mother load.
For the mother load. You guys want to put it on the line?
It's a gambling weekend, I think. So we should,
you did it
we
last should, night. Yes, it came out on
yes,
top.
Yes, I'm not as good as Rich, but yeah.
Yeah. Pass on a little. Let's go for it.
Okay, right. Let's go for it. You got to get this one right, and you take it all home with you. And what's left there?
People, science, or odds and ends.
People, science, or odds and ends.
We'll go science.
Science it is. Here we go. Genetic engineering on mosquitoes can do one of the following. If they genetically engineer a mosquito, they can make them stop with the buzzing already. B, lose their taste for humans. Or C, become self-conscious. They can actually make mosquitoes self-conscious through genetic engineering.
This is what they can do right now?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
What they have.
They can make them self-conscious? That seems
self-conscious
kind of far-fetched.
Mosquito. We have doubts about, you know, what they're doing and why they're doing it.
I would lean toward losing their taste for humans.
That would be a good goal. Yeah, I can't imagine they would try to do anything else. So yeah, I'd go with that.
Yes, lose their taste for humans through genetic engineering.
Mr. Splinter, you and a guest are going to a luncheon that's too good to miss at Madison's Blackhawk Country Club on Tuesday, June 11th, to hear Ben Sidran discuss his latest book at the Madison Public Library Foundation's second annual fundraiser, a benefit for the 2013 Wisconsin Book Festival. And after enjoying lunch, you can have some refreshing Meshuggah mints, which are crazy, crazy strong, certified kosher, and packed in a reusable tin from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild.
Meshuggah.
Protect your eyes from the blinding rays of the sun with a cap from Michigan Radio. Learn how to make the most of a flying saucer experience, reading the book by Professor Solomon from Top Hat Press, and sing along with Our Father from the Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom on the CD What Do You Know About Rachmaninoff, with liner notes that would make the Kremlin cry by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Victor, if you've ever wished to talk Canadian or find the way to Shangri-La, look no further than What Do You Know. Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Whip up delicious recipes from easy-to-find ingredients in the Northwoods Cottage Cookbook by Jerry Minnick from Prairie Oak Press. And sit around the campfire all night long playing What Do You Know, the party game, including questions, contestants, audience, and the rustic Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you. Thank you.
Best to you guys.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests Stephen Kellogg and Simon Rich. I'm Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.